Hey guys, looking for gear, collectibles, houseware, and more from your favorite pop culture franchises? We got you covered. Loot Crate offers a range of geek and gamer items for less than $20 a month. That's Loot Crate calling you geeks, not me. Want to bring your loot to the next level? Get a bigger box with even bigger loot with Loot Crate DX. If you're more the type to wear your geeky heart on your sleeve, then Loot Wear, our monthly wearables and accessories subscription, is what you're looking for. That chill running up your spine isn't your imagination. It's Loot Crate's October theme, horror! We're taking over 40 years of creepy, campy, bloody icons and putting them in this month's crate. That's pretty cool. Channel your best final girl with items from The Walking Dead, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, and Halloween. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific each month to subscribe and receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. So go to lootcrate.com/boogie and enter code boogie to save $3 on any new subscription. Again, that's lootcrate.com/boogie and enter the promo code boogie.
Go. Say it. Say it.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Mean it. Say it again.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
No, not sexy, like real.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone.
Nailed it.
Right, maybe right, I don't know, folder 7. It has a date, but it's European. It's like 16-10-13. So then I forget that that's even a date. Hey.
Oh, hey.
I started already.
You always do that. You always surprise me.
It's a fun one. It lets people think like they're just kicking it with you. Like, look at these guys still figuring it out for the first time. Eventually, that shtick will get old.
Yeah.
We decided to record in my small dining nook, which is why you'll hear the breezy traffic sounds of Glendale Boulevard.
Plus, I got to make sure all my racial tirades are done before you hit record.
No more liking people for being different.
Yeah, got some backlash on that one.
Yeah, a little bit.
As expected.
Well, there goes my landlord, Ed.
Oh, hey, Ed.
Come in here snooping around.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Well, yeah? Okay. Welcome.
I'm back.
Yeah, you're back. Yeah. Welcome to the Boogie Monster.
Yeah.
What you might not realize is that the past 5 episodes were all pre-recorded.
Mm-hmm.
Back in, when did you leave for tour?
I left September 13th, and I got back 2 days ago.
This is all done at the beginning of September. The last ones you've been listening to, if you felt like you were in the moment, we've duped you. They were all done. This is the first one. This will come out next Tuesday, the 18th, October 18th.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Or if we were like how podcast people were like, oh, hey, guys, happy October 18th to you. Because they try to act like they record it. Nobody does that, records the same day.
Yeah. It's a podcast.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't, like, I don't know what we're going to miss.
It's not morning zoo radio.
No. We're not going to miss it.
Not giving you traffic and weather.
But so what that means, we have 5 weeks of catching up to do.
Yeah.
Since you've been on the road for 5 weeks.
I've been on a journey.
You've been on a journey. That means you've been camping. You've been eating delicious foods. I've been out on the road for a little bit.
Yeah.
We've, one of these days, I think we've been doing, I think we'll get an actual, like a table with mic stands. So, all right. Still criticisms about sound quality or I won't clear my throat as much. Now I'm self-conscious of my GERD.
Somebody some guy said I smack when I talk.
Smack.
Like, what does he mean? Like, I don't think I do that.
I think people are just being picky.
Yeah.
I think, like, what kind of, yeah. All
yeah,
right.
Just shut up.
Just shut your dumb mouths and listen to something for free.
And like I told the lady on our Facebook page who was offended by my last tirade.
I think it was a fella.
I don't know who it was.
Yeah.
I just said it's a free comedy podcast. Two operative words, free and comedy. And you're more than welcome to just not listen.
I don't think anybody pays for Klan literature either. I mean, I don't think that's a good argument. I don't think that's a great argument, Dave.
I still don't think that was... Well, I know I wasn't there. It wasn't coming from a place of hatred.
No, it wasn't.
I love everybody.
He does.
I'm just amused by all types of people.
Let's not get back into
that.
All
right, I'll stop it. But yeah, good to be back, man.
Yeah, welcome back. We're in the middle of October. Halloween's coming up. I got up. I did a 6:45 a.m. mountain bike ride through some... some higher the San Gabriel or Angeles Crest Mountains. It smelled like October up there.
What do you mean?
Don't get the,
like burning leaves?
Yeah, I mean, which is not a good smell if you're in a forest in California. Yeah, that's true. It's on fire. But it just smelled like Halloween-y, you know. It's like that good like fall smell. You get ocean smells, you get traffic smells in LA. You don't get decomposing leaves or something. Yeah.
We don't get a lot of that here. We don't get a lot of fall, and I love fall. Coming from Georgia, I'm from North Georgia, which is kind of the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. The falls are amazing. The leaves changing, the colors. And
is that – I mean, I'm not making an easy joke about – is that like Deliverance country? Is that
absolutely
like where that was taking place?
Absolutely. That's exactly where that was filmed.
Is it still – as like kind of unpopular? I mean, Appalachia, like you can still find those kind of communities that are just completely off the grid.
And mountain people are weird. Like,
well, yeah.
Because it's generations of avoiding the law, avoiding society. Like, hey, we're up here doing our own thing. Leave us alone. Like, those mountain folks are clannish. And I don't mean it, you know, in the Rachel sense, but like they are cliquish and like, if you ain't from around here, we don't trust you.
Well, they stay in their packs to, you know, it's just preservation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. But it is beautiful up there. So, yeah, I miss, you know, the typical fall. But that's cool that we're getting a little hint of it this week. It's been nice and cool.
Yeah, I'll take some fall and then put me right back into summer. Then winter, you can cram that up your ass.
Yeah, you've had too much of that coming from Chicago.
I don't need that. Well, let's start by catching up.
Okay.
5 weeks on the road,
yeah.
Dave.
Yeah.
Thousands of miles.
Yeah.
On the old, what do you got, a Previa?
I don't know why that's funny.
It's a Sienna.
It's
a Sienna.
Yeah, Toyota Sienna. I put over 7,000 miles on that
Previa
thing.
Previa, I think, is an antacid.
No, there is a Previa.
There is?
It's the one that it's shaped like an egg. Very oval.
Okay.
They may have stopped making them. I think that was a Toyota.
Not an antacid.
Yeah.
Prevacid. Prevet.
Something with a P.
Pepsid.
Pepsid AC. There you go.
All right.
But yeah, I put over 7,000 miles on the old Toyota Sienna. And in the heart of the tour, at the end of the tour, I went to a comedy festival in Atlanta, Red Clay Comedy Festival. Yeah. It was amazing. Then after that, I visited the folks, and then I drove back. But in the heart of the tour, I think it was 17 or 18 straight days of sleeping in the van. No hotels, no couch surfing. I was just comedy Rambo.
True road dog.
Just true road dog. And it was weird because everywhere I went, this whole tour was DIY stuff. If you're not totally immersed in comedy, DIY, obviously do it yourself, meaning, you know, no comedy clubs, which I won't go on my comedy club rant because I still get booked in a few clubs. But
there's good clubs.
There are definitely good clubs, but there's more crappy ones that I'm tired of begging to get thrown a bone at a club I don't even really want to
play.
Yeah,
well, and like the idea that you need credits just to but nobody gives a shit.
Yeah.
They either know you from maybe stuff like this, like a podcast, but the fact that somebody, but this person was on Last Comic Standing for a week and a half, and like, well, that's going to get them in.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. That's all I heard coming up was get a couple credits and we'll headline you. I went out and got some credits, and they're like, yeah, well,
how about this?
Dave,
I co-host the Boogie Monster, you sons of bitches. How about that credit?
Yeah. So anyway, I did the DIY route, meaning just a bunch of independent shows, just in, you know, just small bars, small music venues. But with that, it's there's a very bare bones approach to. You know, I wasn't making a ton of money each gig. Nobody's offering up hotels. So I was like, let me cut corners. Let me just Rambo this shit. And just every night was in the van.
It's the Blues Brothers posing. I can't talk at all.
Okay.
I've been off the talking thing for a while. The Blues Brothers posing as the good old boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're the good old boys.
Yep. But it was fun. Man, went all over. Started out in Colorado, did a bunch of shows there.
Yeah.
Nebraska, Kansas City, all the way down throughout the Southeast.
You saw some America.
I did.
In the fall. What a wonderful time. A
lot of America. And on the way back, just for the hell of it, I didn't have any shows booked back. Yeah. And I usually do it that way. And I know it sounds stupid to do it that way, like to just tour one way and then finish the tour and then drive all the way back across the country.
Well,
but I kind of like doing it that way. I like when the tour's over, let me just haul ass 3 days back home.
Yeah.
So I did that. And one day, I left from Atlanta, or actually it was a couple hours.
Let me spend all that money I made just on gas.
I left a couple hours east of Atlanta, I can make that trek in 3 days. And on the second day, just for the hell of it, I drove 1,000 miles. Just nice round number. Let me drive.
Weird thing to do for a hell of it.
Yeah, let me drive 1,000 miles today.
People like sometimes for the hell of it, like I watched Bachelor in Paradise for the hell of it. Usually not drive 1,000 miles. It's usually a very purposeful journey.
Mm. I get it done. Just real Smokey and the Bandit style. Just a long way to go and a short time to get there. But I ate so much good food.
Somebody made a Smokey and the Bandit reference that was so appropriate because we were trying to get some Coors to a party or something.
Oh, really?
It was like perfect. We got Smokey and the Bandit. Get there quick. I'm like, yeah, and we're buying Coors. It's all coming together.
Oh, if you've never seen that movie, man, it holds up. I love that movie. Jerry Reed. People don't know who Jerry Reed is. Country music guy.
Yeah.
Country music singer. Mm-hmm. Did he pass away? I don't know. But he was a great country music artist. But he plays Cletus.
Yeah.
He's the truck driver. He's the bandit's buddy. But we could do a whole episode on the food that I ate on this tour. But I'll keep it brief and just...
We usually do a whole episode on the food that you've eaten, Dave. I don't know why you think that's going to be a negative aspect. Now, everything I've gotten, which a lot of great feedback. Again, I know we don't personally thank people that have been writing in or cluing in on stuff, but there's been a lot of positive feedback, and most of it has been for your biscuit recipe.
Yeah, I've been responding.
Clearly nobody excited about our completely unknowledgeable exploration of the supernatural. That's not lighting a lot of fires out there. But goddamn, you know what you can prove? That those biscuits are delicious, and people are out there to spread the word.
Well over 200 email requests for that biscuit recipe.
I think you just got to put it up on the
page. That's all I've been doing is just copying and pasting. And by the way, I just simply can't give a personalized response to every single email because there's been so many. But I try. Yeah. I try to, you know, I'll read every email and I'll try to throw in a little personal commentary. But a lot of it's just, if you feel like it's just a mass copy and paste, well, that's what it was. And I apologize. But hey, at least I sent you a free biscuit recipe. But a lot of that. Speaking of the emails and whatnot, been getting some cool fan art coming our way.
Yeah. Okay. Let's give.
And I really dig that. I'll throw a couple shout-outs real quick. We got one this week, or last week. Who did that one? A guy named Trevor Richardson. He's the one that made the I Want a Boogie.
With
us and the chicken and the UFO.
The chicken coming out of the UFOs and the X-Files font.
So shout-out to Trevor Richardson. Also shout-out to Christopher Gray and Half Hazard Press. They made the one with the cool little ghost detector.
Those guys did an awesome poster for me out of Central Illinois, Champaign-Urbana area. And I feel real bad because they made a great poster for me when I played there last time. And I was so kind of – I was tour burnt. Uh-huh. And I met them and like, can we just sell them? I don't know. I couldn't talk to anybody. I felt – this is one of those things where like, oh, I was in real shit mood. And I think I was outwardly being a dick to people.
Well, people don't understand that show. I try to be nice to everybody, and I sincerely appreciate anybody who spends $5 or $10 of their hard-earned money to come see me ramble about. But one thing that people sometimes seem to not understand is when we go out on these tours, you know, we're out every night, different city, every night, traveling, driving, performing, and I can't hang out every night. I get a lot of like, hey, come back to my cabin 40 miles away with me and my cousins. Like, I appreciate it, but I gotta go get some sleep, man.
Yeah, for all the informed details that go into the act about, living on the road, sleeping in the van, I love drinking and meeting strangers and getting into crazy situations. if that stuff wasn't true, maybe I'd be more likely to go out after every show. But because I have done all that stuff, you get to it, I was like, ah, you know what? I got a hotel and the bed's nice and I have to drive 6 hours tomorrow. I'm thinking about myself. You drive further for gigs than I do. I'm like, I'm not driving. I'm like, I don't want to go further than 5 hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
But it means I could sleep in and just get some food and eat in a bed. Like, yeah. That Champaign Urbana show, it was just champagne. Mm-hmm. I was just like, I realized I was a dick after that show. So if anybody was at that show and tried to talk to me afterwards, I was being an asshole. I apologize. But thanks to Haphazard Press for the poster for that and the awesome Boogie Monster poster.
Yeah, and a couple weeks ago, Jesse H. Mead sent us an actual comic strip. He made a comic strip about the Boogie Monster podcast, so shout out to him. So yeah, keep those coming. I don't know about you, but I love that fan art stuff.
Yeah, fan art, and there's been limitless suggestions of what we should look at, which if you could see how well we research and remember what the larger concepts, we'll get to it eventually. bear with us, and thank you for that.
But yeah, should I throw out a couple of my restaurant experiences?
I think we know now that we do food first.
and in all honesty,
whatever leftover time we get to. Sometimes
when I tour, like, obviously comedy is the main objective.
Yeah.
But I'd be lying if I said I didn't route some of my tours and some of my dates around restaurants that I want to go visit. So
how was that show in Texarkana? It sucked, but the ribs were amazing.
All right, I'll just throw a couple out here. All right, first of all, I was in Kansas City, did a nice show at Dave's Uptown Ramblers Club.
Dave's Uptown Ramblers Club.
Yeah,
is that actually the name of the place?
Yeah, shout out to Aaron Naylor and some of the Kansas City boys for treating me really, really well there. But before the show, I went to allegedly one of the most famous barbecue joints in the country. Joe's Kansas City is the name of it.
Okay.
Anthony Bourdain put it on his one of 13 places you must eat before you die list. Gets a lot of press.
What's after that list?
I live tweeted it.
Some
I don't
girl
know if
named Cheryl's shanty somewhere on the.
But it's legendary. Apparently, it's won all kinds of
Chi Minh
awards.
Trail. Anthony Bourdain.
And I do this about once a year. I'll just live tweet a meal.
You get fresh penguin after you go to Joe's Kansas City, and you get fresh penguin.
Joe's Kansas City,
Oh, fighting words.
Good, not great.
But barbecues, that's your wheelhouse.
That's my wheelhouse. And, of course, barbecue is incredibly subjective. Everybody's got their own opinions and their own taste and their own, you know, whatever. But
it's diverse and should be celebrated as such, much
good.
Like the dialects of our Earth's people.
I will say this. Kansas City, kind of known. Look out. Somebody didn't turn his phone off.
This is. Yeah. Okay.
Is that your
we
lady?
We suck at podcasting. That's like, if that happened at a comedy show, I'd punch myself in the face for being the idiot that doesn't know how to. Fuck. What a fucking
Speaking
idiot.
Of which, remind me later in the show to tell you about a guy I almost punched at a comedy show.
Dave almost punched somebody at a comedy show. Welcome to another week of the Boogie Man.
I haven't been this mad.
Dave had ribs and almost punched somebody. Who wants to hear fucking version 12 of that story? Who wants to hear part 19 of Dave?
I'm nice.
Ate something.
I don't go around threatening to punch people often.
Dave ate something with the description kicking in it. And almost poured some on his hands for a knuckle sandwich.
Speaking of which, great joke on Conan the other night. I don't know if anybody saw Kyle on Conan.
I forgot what I did.
Very funny bit about having the gout. And one of that just reminded me you had
How about
one,
rodeo.
You ordered one too many menu items with the word rodeo in it.
It's if you describe a food as rodeo, I'm on board. And I still won't know what it means.
Oh man. But all right, so Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay, yeah.
Apparently legendary, won all kind of awards. Good, not great.
Couldn't you just call it Joe's?
Yeah, you would think.
You're really kind of It sounds desperate.
One thing that disappointed me, Kansas City, kind of known for burnt ends. That's a dish, barbecue dish, where they take the end, little end pieces. I believe it's off of a brisket. And then they'll throw them on the grill, toss them in some sauce, blah, blah, blah. Not on the menu at Joe's Kansas City. No burnt ends.
Keep them for themselves.
A little disappointed in that. All right, let me throw out a couple of high points. Went to Little Donkey in Birmingham. Our buddy Wes Van Horn. You know old Wes Van Horn.
Wes.
Great comedian. Unfortunately, just moved back to Birmingham. Was here in L.A. for a few years. But yeah, that's another story. I support whatever he wants to do. But
Wes and Kristen Rand,
yeah,
hilarious comedians. Lucky you, Birmingham.
Yeah, yeah.
That you got some hilarious folks.
Just got engaged. Moved
got
back
engaged,
to Birmingham.
And I will be in Birmingham in a few weeks.
Wes has a buddy who owns this buddy and his buddy's dad own a whole string of not just one restaurant, but it's like a restaurant group. They own three or four of this restaurant, three or four of that restaurant. They own, I don't know, like 10 or 11 restaurants. He took me to one of them. When you think of Birmingham, Alabama, you don't really think Mexican food.
No.
But they have a restaurant called Little Donkey. Shout out to Little Donkey in Birmingham. And Wes played up the whole, Dave's got a show on the Travel Channel, even though it was just the pilot at the time. So the guys were like so accommodating, like, oh, this guy's a food guy on TV.
You know what Little Donkey is in Spanish, right?
No.
It's burrito.
Is it really?
Yeah. Burro.
Is donkey. Wow. Because I was wondering, why the hell would they name that?
I just fucked you in your brain.
That's crazy.
I fucked your brain.
That's crazy. So went to Little Donkey, and they rolled out the red carpet.
Went to a Mexican restaurant called Burrito.
Yeah. It was amazing.
You fucking Southerners. Well, now is that right?
Never thought of that. I was wondering why they named it Little Donkey. I'm not a sharp one. But, dude, they rolled out the red carpet. The chef there came out, and I didn't even order. It was one of those, like, hey, you're coming. We got this.
Ooh.
You and I experienced this one time at the Albert, where we didn't even order.
Yeah,
they just kept bringing out stuff.
Parade of food.
Yeah. So they did that at Little Donkey. It was kind of like it's authentic Mexican, even though it's in Birmingham, but kind of fusioned with barbecue. For example, we had like barbecue, beef, brisket, tamales. Mind blown.
I'll listen to it. That seems natural that you could intertwine barbecue with Mexican food.
Oh, and it worked perfectly. And then their specialty was this Mexican-style fried chicken. I don't know what makes it Mexican-style. They did something to the seasoning and the batter, but just some of the best fried chicken I've ever had. Like, just enough spice, little different spice than like a traditional
Southern. But it's still like a fried nothing jumped out at you why it was Mexican, just some spices?
Just the spice. Yeah, it was still, you know, prepared the same and served the same, but the spice was just a little different. And with that, they served the Mexican-style street corn.
Oh,
the corn on the cob grilled with, like, the mayonnaise and the chili powder. And my God. So anyway, shout out to Little Donkey in Birmingham. If you're ever in the area, highly recommend that.
Can I ask a question? And this will be ignorant. I laughed too hard at the Little Donkey. You wouldn't put that together normally. You're like, oh, restaurants have funny names.
Yeah.
Is there – do they make things with just – I mean, I know like, oh, rib meat this. But like where somebody would purposely pull the meat off ribs and put it into a dish.
Are you setting me up for my next story? Because I got one. That worked out perfect.
No shit?
Yeah. I was literally about to say –
because
right.
Like ribs, you get ribs, but you're always eating the ribs off. You're eating the meat off the ribs. Because then you said something like, "What if that was like pulled off and put into a taco or something?"
Kyle, you know what I did? Okay. All right, here's the next food
story.
Here
we go. I'm putting an elbow.
Okay,
on the table
put an elbow on the table. I was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Red Clay Comedy Festival.
You betcha.
We've mentioned before on the podcast our good buddies Craig Holzer and Paul Galois opened their own barbecue catering business, King's Barbecue, in Atlanta. They catered the Red Clay Comedy Festival.
Okay.
And one day.
I saw some beautiful pictures from that, by the way.
Oh,
slicing some brisket.
My God. Craig came out. Paul was sick.
Yeah.
So Paul couldn't make it. But Craig came out by himself with his giant smoker.
Yeah.
And literally, I'm not saying this because he's my buddy, no hyperbole, the best ribs I have ever had.
Ooh.
The best ribs. He made maybe 30 racks of ribs, and then he also smoked this Texas-style brisket.
That's what just, I saw being cut
up. My God. The brisket, the ribs.
Instagram, yeah.
Unbelievable. Like, that dude is a mad scientist with barbecue. And Craig's a great comedian,
yeah.
But he has since, recently, he's kind of stepped away from comedy, and he's really pursuing barbecue, and it is working.
Atlanta, like, all these guys that were hilarious, I go like, yeah, they're not doing comedy anymore. They're just kind of working at a restaurant. I'm like, oh, it sucks. They're so funny. And then I go to that restaurant. I'm like, yeah, you don't need jokes.
Yeah.
You don't need to do jokes anymore.
Yeah.
This, what you're doing here, so much better than jokes.
Yep. Craig and Paul run the kitchen at the Albert and have been for many years,
yeah.
But now they're slowly branching out into their own thing, King's Barbecue. Anyway, Craig catered the Red Clay Comedy Festival. Amazing brisket, amazing ribs. So anyway, this is what I did. The night after the festival, when it ended, we had maybe 10 racks of ribs left over. And I was hanging out at our buddy Gilbert Lowen's sister's place. So it was me, it was Gilbert, it was Rory Scovel stopped by. Mm-hmm. I took these 10 racks of ribs. I give Craig all the credit. I didn't make the ribs. They were already...
He gave you 10 racks of ribs?
Yep. He gave them to Shammy, Gilbert's sister, who was kind of one of the curators of the festival. We took the leftover ribs.
How many ribs are in a rack?
Usually about 14, 12 to 14.
And basically a rack is just one side of the chest.
Yes. Yeah, the actual rib cage is what you're eating of the pig.
Like a half a cage.
I took these ribs, the best ribs I've ever had in my life, reheated them, deboned them. I made a homemade McRib sandwich.
See?
This
is what I'm talking about.
It was so good.
You kind of form a patty?
No, I didn't. It was different in the sense that, like, I couldn't just literally pull the bone off the meat because it was so tender. So I couldn't pull the bone out and leave everything intact. So I just, I kind of shaved all the meat off the bones. So it wasn't a rib patty the way the McRib is. But anyway, so I took...
It wasn't an unnatural shaped... And I fucking love a McRib, by the way.
I like a McRib.
I know people want to be disgusted. There's no reason to mold the bones into the shape of it.
Yeah.
That's off-putting.
Yeah.
And not necessary. Just say rib sandwich.
Yeah. I made a rib sandwich, took the bones off the ribs, and then I even sliced the onions the same way that the McRib that they do at McDonald's. So I got these really great hoagie buns, got this rib meat off the bone, chopped it up, tossed it in a little barbecue sauce, pickles, onions, boom. It was, oh boy.
Is the McRib out? Like, somebody, I always wondered why the McRib was seasonal, and somebody said it had to do with pork prices.
That makes sense.
Like,
even though,
if
I'm not sure.
Well, I don't know the market.
Top
yeah, I don't know.
Pork.
Wasn't it like a Trading Places thing? Like, we're like, invest in pork bellies. Like, it was. A commodity?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, that's definitely pork futures. And
yeah,
pork
yeah. So it's an up and down market. But then I always was curious why, like, they knew if it was a regular item, nobody would buy it because it's not that good. Like, the realization once you can have it whenever is like,
that's what
it is. Well, this isn't that good.
Yeah, I think it's.
But if you make it special, like, oh, fucking McRib's back.
It's the availability.
And then you can have it, and you'd be like, oh, this sucks. And then it goes away, and you forget that it sucks because you didn't have it four more times. You'd be like, this is dog shit. I'm never going to eat this again. You only had it once. You're like, I don't think that was good. But then you forget, and then it comes back, like, hey, baby. You're like, oh, you bad girl? Yeah.
Yep.
Is it back now? I'll eat it. I've been off the meat since, well, for 4 days. I had to clean up my act for a minute.
So one last one I'll throw out. Guess what else I ate? I went to Jackson, Mississippi, which Jackson, Mississippi.
Put no pause in between guess what else I ate and telling me what you ate.
Jackson, Mississippi, an interesting town. Just I don't know how to describe it. Like, it's like downtown Jackson, Mississippi is, yeah. I don't want to say abandoned, but like all the commerce. What commerce and industry that there is in Jackson has kind of moved away from downtown. Yeah. Jackson used to be like such a hub for like the African American community way back in the day, and civil rights movement and a lot of the old Delta blues singers. It was a nice scene for the blues. Anyway, but there's still a little bit of a kind of an old school Main Street downtown district in Jackson. I ate at this place called Big Apple Inn.
Okay.
Little hole in the wall. Had a pig ear sandwich.
Oh, you sent me pictures of that one.
Ate a pig ear sandwich.
I was curious about that.
And the other specialty they have is a smoked sausage sandwich. And they're sliders. They look just like sliders, like Crystals or White Castle. And the smoked sausage is just literally links of smoked sausage that they just kind of chop up and grind up. So it's just like loose meat type sausage. But it's spicy. Oh, it's spicy. It's got a kick to it. They throw it on a little slider bun, a little hot sauce. And so the smoked sausage slider was amazing.
But a pig's ears.
The pig ear was good, not great. It was definitely a little bit of that, like, I mean, it's literally a pig ear. It's not processed. It's not chopped up or ground up. It's you're eating a pig's ear that's been folded, boiled and folded over and thrown onto a slider bun.
And folded over.
It was... it wasn't bad, but because it was so unprocessed, it was like while you're chewing, you're like, I'm eating
like,
a pig's
ear. Like, is it cartilage?
Ear.
Like, I imagine a pig's ear being like biting into, not flavor-wise, but texture-wise, like a Dr. Scholl's foot insert.
That's not far off, yeah. It's got... It's got
and
a bit
this
of
is
that.
Not a slight on the Big Apple Inn
by
any means.
Like, it's an acquired taste.
Yeah.
And that place is bumping. Like, they sell them all day long. And again, the good, not great, only in the sense that it's not something I've had a lot of.
Yeah. It's an acquired taste. Well, and that's the, you know, that whole turn in cooking, not being a foodie, but wasn't that the whole turn of people taking awful, the OFFAL, and taking like the discarded parts of the animal or what have you that poor people would be dealt.
Yeah.
Like that was what they would have to make food. And so they were tasked with the challenge of making that delicious.
Yep.
And so that's what they did. They always, like a neglected cuts of meat is spicing them and learning how to cook them the right way.
That's the origin of soul food. That's the origin of barbecue. You know,
that's barbecue too?
Brisket is not a good cut of meat.
Really?
Brisket itself, no. Brisket is not a good cut of meat. But when you smoke it for 12 hours and season it just right, then it turns into something glorious. But yeah, that's
something for the first time for 12 hours? Like, I'm hungry. Can you wait until tomorrow? Like, no. Like, we have food when we're starving. But just trust me. It's not even by the meat. It's by the fire.
Yeah.
Just I got a hint.
It takes a while.
I got an inkling about that.
Well, that's why I love barbecue, because it's there's patience, there's time, there's care.
There's no urgency.
Yeah,
to
it's you know, it takes some time to get it good. But yeah, that's the origin of barbecue. That's the origin of soul food. Is taking those. Well, Big Apple Inn's appeared on one of those. I think a Bourdain documentary show where they even say when we first started, the butchers would give them the pig ears for free. They would get the pig ear for free because the butcher couldn't sell them. He couldn't do anything with them. So they took those pig ears and started figuring out how to boil them just right and make a little sandwich.
The more places I eat, the more I realize Guy Fieri's been everywhere. Like, who's the fucking blues guy that had like 80 kids? Is that Howlin' Wolf or something?
I mean, it could
be. He's the Howlin' Wolf of television restaurant. And this isn't even a rant about him being ridiculous or whatever. If you want a hilarious joke about that, see Shane Torres. But like every day I'm going like, oh, it's like, look at this unique spot. I wonder if anybody else. And then it's just him with his standard headshot in front of his Camaro. Like, fucking double tubular, guys. Like, that's not even – how's that a compliment?
Oh, man. But, yeah, so many – I'll cut it short because I could just rant all day.
Well,
but,
I was also touring, and I had some – I tried to go to Guy Fieri's restaurant in Las Vegas.
Why would you do that?
Because – so what? Like, what – like, if it wasn't Guy Fieri's name on there and you're like, oh, jalapeno bottle caps on top of fried chicken tenders, I would eat that.
Yeah, I get it. He's an easy
But we went there and there's empty tables in the restaurant. Like, it's going to be a half hour wait. Like, no, I'm not going to wait to eat at Guy Fieri's restaurant. I'll go to your restaurant. I'm not going to wait to eat there. I'm not going to sit around with a bunch of other NASCAR shorts. People in NASCAR shorts. So went somewhere else, but I did go. I had Chaps Pit Beef in Baltimore.
You were telling me about that.
And Pit Beef is Arby's made by real people.
Wow.
And that's a compliment. It doesn't sound like I meant it as that.
No, I get it. I know what you're saying.
But it's like shaved roast beef and a nice Kaiser roll with all the mustards and horseradish toppings. Mm. And it was – I got to be honest, though. Like I was told was there with Omar Shockett, funny comic from New York, originally from Baltimore. So he's the one that took me there, and he was working with me that weekend. He's like, get it medium rare. I think I would have gotten it medium.
Really?
Medium rare, roast beef. I was pulling on it like a jungle cat eating out of a gazelle. Like I was having to turn my head sideways to get pieces off of it. And that was, like, it didn't have anything to do with the flavor, but I was like, this is a bit much. Like, this is too much work. Like, when you think of a steak that's tender and medium rare, it's like you put it in your mouth because you're cutting off small pieces. But when it just shaved off, it was like
a little too chewy.
Yeah, it was like a cat eating a pigeon. It was really going at it.
Now, how
but it was very tasty.
How do they cook that beef? Is it over charcoal? Is it smoked like barbecue? Do you know?
Man,
is it in an oven?
I don't know. I ordered it and then I got it.
But could you taste any charcoal or any smokiness to it? It probably prepared in an oven the way you would prepare a prime rib.
Yeah,
roasted
maybe. Okay. I mean, we could look it up.
Okay.
But I didn't taste it. I just tasted very good roast beef and nice with onions and stuff on it. But that was good.
That's good.
And it was a little small place. And then I was in Philly and I got a cheesesteak from just some not one of the famous places. I just got a cheesesteak. So I was there and it was a good cheesesteak. It was like, could you tell it was a newer place that was trying to do fancier things to cheesesteaks, which I'm sure locals might be upset with. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't give a, like, that's what people get upset about. Like, how dare you try and make a fancy version of our shit local food? Like, what? Like, oh, gourmet pizzas. How dare you? Why not? Oh, no. You know what I want to eat? Pepperoni and cheese for the rest of my fucking life.
Mm-hmm.
Why not take something and improve upon it?
Yeah.
I'm like, what? I don't understand this idea that you can't be loyal to the original version if you choose to explore a more advanced version of it. Like, it's some sort of betrayal for anything. And that's my own, you know what? And I'm saying that to myself right now in a more of a music sense or comedians that, like, will watch somebody do something weirder on stage that isn't traditional stand-up and be like, this is stupid. No, you're stupid because you won't allow yourself to enjoy something new because you've come, like, so many people are so conservative, no matter how liberal politically they are, they're incredibly conservative with their views of, like, what a type of food should be, what a type of entertainment should be, or what a type of music should be. Like, no, this can't be punk rock because it's got to be this thing. And if you do something else outside of that, how can you just have a keyboard and drums? That's not punk rock. Like, fucking who cares about your labels? It can't be pizza because there's no sauce on it and there's apple slices. Like, fuck you. Why limit yourself? I'm guilty of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I mean, what has somebody done with barbecue that you've been like, this isn't barbecue? Like, what constitutes it being barbecue?
Smoked with wood and fire. A lot of people just
smoked with wood and fire. That sounds like if Iron Maiden sang a song about smoked on wood and fire. Cage of Beast. Melts in mouth.
Oh, God, that's funny. Yeah, that's really it. There's too many barbecue places that call themselves barbecue that cook that shit in an oven, and that's what that ain't it. That's the only thing that will piss me off when it comes to barbecue. It's got to be wood and fire involved.
So there's some basic – I understand there's basic rules involved, but hilarious, R.I.P., hilarious comic Pat Bryce from Chicago. Everybody posts every year. On the anniversary of his death and around his birthday, which will be coming up in, I believe, November. But he was a fucking hilarious dude, but he had a joke about how he went to some, like, was hanging out with some girl. She's like, oh, I'll make you I'll make you a pizza. Come over. I'll make pizza. We don't have to go out. I'll make you pizza. And like, I'll make you a vegan pizza or something. And it was just, I'm butchering the joke. But about how the only thing that was pizza about it was it was a circle. Like, the only thing that resembled a pizza was the shape. Like, you can't just call everything that's a circle a pizza. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. I got a flat, my car pizza. I got a flat because my car pizza. You know those pizzas that are on the side of your car? One of those blew out.
That's funny.
And I'm ruining the joke. But, okay, I understand that there's certain parameters. But when they're not rules that would come up in a court of law dictating whether or not you go to prison because you broke those rules, fuck those rules.
Well, I mean, this sounds pretentious, but I truly believe food is art. Like, that's why people give me shit for Instagramming my meals. But no, when someone makes something and they make it so well and it's something that you're putting into your body, like, food can definitely be art. That's why there's King's Barbecue and then there's Arby's.
Yeah.
Arby's, by the way, got a new – you know what their new thing is? Pork belly sandwich. No thanks. No thanks, Arby's. Really? I love pork belly.
Really no but thanks?
No. I mean, of course I'm going to eat it.
Really? No thanks? Really?
We'll probably go there right after this.
Slept in your van for 3 weeks, but you're putting your foot down about Arby's pork belly?
It's just come on. You know? It's just, but like when someone does it right, food is just like comedy or literature or music. It's your interpretation. You're taking these basic ingredients and putting your twist on it.
I've made that comparison to somebody, another friend that would bitch about movies. And there's the Michael Bay version. McDonald's McRibs are the Michael Bay version of like, look at sauce, buns, this, and you ate it and you feel good momentarily, but it was shit. But who cares? You just wanted something
empty
in that
calories.
Moment.
Yeah.
You're not going back saying, oh, my favorite sandwich ever is a McRib.
Yeah.
And then there's the version of the people that the care that's put into it and the craftsmanship. I get that. I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So, no. Okay. I didn't know Arby's had pork belly.
Yeah. That's
I only went because Rachel lived right by an Arby's. Hmm. And it was the hardest thing when we first started dating. Like, how much do I want her to know about who I am?
You like Arby's.
I got no problem with Arby's.
I do.
What's your problem?
It just sucks. First of all, that roast beef comes in a gelatinous liquefied tube that they then slice.
Can I blow your mind again? Mm-hmm. Arby's, do you know how that breaks down, the name?
I think you're the one that told me that about a year ago.
Roast beef.
That blows so many people's minds.
And then somebody else, no, I think Rachel told it to me, but it doesn't make sense. It's like A-R-B-Y was like all – ah, fuck it. I'm not going to –
it's an acronym?
Yeah, but then you know what I'm getting confused is with what was his name's joke about MC February?
Oh, my gosh. Kenan Burton from Atlanta.
That joke still is like, you got to have like an acronym, cool names. It's like, I'm MC February. It was like, fucking every bitch right up the ass. Really? Yeah. And
then he does a dance. MC February. That's me.
That joke.
Kenan, one of the funniest human beings I've ever seen in my life.
He didn't do comedy anymore.
One of the laziest human beings. He's an old friend. You know, I would tell him this to his face.
He doesn't do comedy anymore.
I don't even think he does comedy anymore.
That's a goddamn shame. That's when you like
wasted talent.
Like hearing somebody like that doesn't do comedy anymore, that's like a Goodwill Hunting scenario.
Yeah,
like,
it really is.
Man, you're squandering something that would do the world good if you decided to pursue it.
So funny. He used to do these other little he's very musical, which typically I'm not a fan of musical comedy. When I see a comic,
but by musical it just means he would like sing and dance
just
out of
dance.
Nowhere in the middle of a stand-up
but he could play guitar, and he did have like songs. He would prepare comedic songs that were great, but then sometimes he would just riff. But one time he used to do this series of jokes where he'd go, you guys like Elvis? Yeah, all right. Yeah. I like Elvis. Here's my impression of Elvis, one of his most popular hits, Hound Dog. But then it would be like nothing like it. He would be like, I'm a hound dog, you're a hound dog, we're all a hound dog, hound dog, easy now. It's like, that's not it at all. Like, he would take a predictable song and then just take a left turn that had nothing, resembled nothing like the original.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Atlanta. Kenan was great, man.
Atlanta was magical. It was magical with some of these guys. Now they're just making delicious barbecue or disappearing into the woods.
So much fun on the tour. So much fun. Oh, by the way, I'll throw this out there. Red Clay Comedy Festival. So much fun.
Yeah.
By the way, definitely go next year if anybody's near Atlanta. It was in conjunction this year with a music festival.
Yeah.
The PAPS, Project PAPS, I believe it was the name of it. I saw Mastodon.
Project PAPS sounds like every woman's boyfriend if they're 23.
I saw Mastodon. I saw NoFX. I saw Run the Jewels. But my point is next year, you know who they're trying to get to play the Red Clay Comedy Festival? They got two big headliners they're looking for.
Yeah.
Kyle Kinane.
Well.
And Drive-By Truckers. Two of my favorite artists.
Easy enough on my end. Talk to them truckers. See what they got going on.
Oh, how cool would that be? If Gilbert reaches out.
Blowing the budget on the truckers. All right. I understand. No, I get it.
Oh, that would be great next year. Kyle Kinane, Drive-By Truckers at the Red Clay Comedy Festival. Oh, my God.
We've just talked. Once again, we're at 44 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not even.
But we had a lot of catching up to.
A lot of catching up to. I haven't even talked about all my camping.
We can make this a bonus.
We can.
Episode.
I haven't talked about all my camping.
You start talking about camping. I'm going to get this whiskey bottle.
You need more whiskey?
Well.
All right. Go get your whiskey. I'm going to talk.
Some?
You can still hear me. You go do your thing.
You can hear me too. I'm figuring. No, I'll say this into the microphone. I keep getting mistaken for being from the South lately. Uh-huh. Because I think I've hung out enough. And it's just, as explained to me, like saying, like, I reckon. Like, yeah. I've picked up reckon.
Uh-huh.
Because it's so much better than saying whatever.
Yeah.
It's the same sentiment. Uh-huh. But it's so much more polite outwardly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you want to go get something to eat? And you could say, whatever. And you sound like a dick. He's like, I reckon. Which means the same thing, but so much nicer.
Yeah.
Reckon and y'all. I've taken that from hanging out with you fucking hillbillies.
I mean, y'all is just natural. Like, years ago, I think I've mentioned this, I worked at Longhorn Steakhouse, and my opening line was, hey, can I get y'all something to drink? And my boss was like, you got to stop saying y'all. And I literally.
At Longhorn Steakhouse?
And I literally was like, I don't know what the proper alternative
then
is.
You need to stop working at a place called Longhorn Steakhouse.
What is the you all? I'm supposed to say you all. Can I get you all something to drink? Fuck off. Y'all, what y'all
can
want to
I
drink?
Can I wrangle up some beverages?
Do you ever the next one on your list, you got to start saying fixin' to.
I'll throw a fix. That's when I do feel like a fraud.
Fixin' to go eat.
But I like that was
Foxworthy's got that great bit about like just weird southern words like mayonnaise. Mayonnaise, a lot of people in this mall.
Oh, fuck you for giving me to laugh at a Foxworthy bit.
Asinine. Her face is six, but her ass is nine.
Who is the Asian guy that grew up in the South, the comedian?
Rodney Ho.
Is that who it was?
Oh, well, Rodney Ho's not bad. There's another guy that you might be thinking of that I'll go ahead and say it. I think is the worst comic I've ever seen in my life.
Who is it?
I might catch some shit about this. Alex Raimundo.
No.
He's a Hispanic. I'm a Mexican, but I'm from Kentucky. All right. Who gives a shit?
Well, no, because this was an Asian guy. But
yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
He had a joke. It was just about something about – or maybe he wasn't Southern.
Rodney Ho, that's his shtick. His whole act is, I'm Asian, but I'm from the South.
But and he had some very long bit about how people from the South – will go overboard with just exclaiming something.
Uh-huh.
And he's talking about being at a friend's house. I'm like, hey there, man. I was about to go into the kitchen and get myself a nice cold Coca-Cola. And when I was in there, I thought maybe you'd like one for yourself. So I want to come out here and ask you if you'd like a nice cold Coca as well. And he's like, I just feel so guilty going, nah. I can't remember if it's Rodney. Henry Cho.
That's what I meant. Henry Cho. Rodney Ho is a journalist at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Well, you fucked yourself. You're 0-2 with the Asians.
Sorry about
these
that.
Podcasts,
Henry
man.
Cho. Henry Cho is his name.
Rodney Ho.
Rodney Ho is a journalist. Oh, man. I got to stop talking.
You really really katana'd yourself in the foot with that one. I make note, I ran back to the mic from the kitchen for that insult.
Oh, God, where were we? I'll throw a couple of quick shout-outs. I won't do a whole dissertation on these guys, but some other great food I ate. Peg Leg Porker Barbecue in Nashville, Tennessee. Arnold's in Nashville, fantastic meat and three, which, by the way, Kyle had no idea what meat and three meant. No. Had to explain that to you. Sure, yeah, bring some more of that Jameson over here. Even though I prefer the Jack Daniels, the Jameson tastes a little too. Jameson tastes a little too much like mouthwash. Arnold's meat and three in Nashville. Meat and three, if you don't know, you pick one meat and three sides. So every day, a classic Southern meat and three will rotate. They'll have three or four meats and about 8 or 10 sides, and sometimes that'll rotate. And a lot of times you can even call them, and they'll have a voice message the same way that you used to call a movie theater, and they'll tell you the movies and the times. But an old Southern meat and three, really? You would call them like, thanks for calling Nancy's Country Cooking. Today, Tuesday the 14th, we got fried chicken and dumplings, and pulled pork sandwiches. And our sides are fried okra, and they just go through
it's
the
a
list.
Party line?
Yeah, and it would change every day. But yeah, meat and three, you just pick one meat and three sides, and holy crap, Arnold's in Nashville just knocks it out of the park.
Okay, all right.
So, Peg Leg Porker, Arnold's, Homegrown in Atlanta. I've talked about them before.
Like, we've been there. Whew. When I was there a couple years ago, I've mm-hmm. been there a few times. You're from there, so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Homegrown, yeah, I can fully. What's the dish?
Comfy chicken biscuit.
The comfy chicken biscuit.
That's their signature dish.
Yeah, it's I agree.
Open face. Open face chicken biscuit. Really
we're
good.
Catching up.
Really good. Just perfectly seasoned fried chicken breast, topped with sausage gravy.
No, I got that. Oh my God. I got that.
Speaking of sausage gravy. Let me go ahead and throw this out there. Speaking of which.
Dave, take the wheel.
Okay. There's so much to get to this episode. So much catching up.
It's been a minute, man.
All right. I'm going to throw out a recipe.
You have a whole page written about the aliens mentioned in the WikiLeaks that happened this week. Some major UFO news.
We'll get to it.
But
we got one, you know, priorities. One thing at a time.
If the world is ending, you're going to want to make the sausage gravy.
All right. I'll throw that out there.
Lead in.
There we go. So many people responded to that mm-hmm. biscuit recipe. Literally, I think over 200 emails I've sent out in the last couple of weeks. But several people are like, what am I supposed to eat with the biscuit?
Is it funny to call jizz sausage gravy? I mean, I guess, yeah, because you're laughing at it, but... Like, I don't know if it's a good joke or not. We're both drunk, so, like, this still isn't a good judgment. Ugh, speaking of sausage gravy.
How has no one ever thought of that?
Because it's dumb as shit, and people are better than that.
All right,
everybody else in the world is a more tactful human being than us.
I'll make it real brief. I'm going to throw out a gravy recipe.
Yeah, me too.
All right, you got the biscuit recipe.
Three shakes and a.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Three shakes and a. Be still, lady. We're almost done.
Finish line's coming. Finish line's coming.
Oh, my God. Can't stop laughing.
I got Chariots of Fire queued up.
All right. Gravy recipe to go with those biscuits. By the way, what was that? That was a few episodes ago. The statute of limitations.
Don't ask me to remember.
The offer
we've talked
limited
about
time only on that biscuit recipe.
We're gonna lock up the biscuits again?
No, but come on, just hurry up. I'm tired of just every day, just dozens of emails I got to respond to. So anyway, that's on me. I'm the one that threw it out there.
Yeah, man.
All right, to go with the biscuits, I'll make this brief. Sausage gravy, easiest thing in the world to make. A lot of these things, people don't realize how easy some of this great stuff is. But speaking of mashed potatoes, homemade mashed potatoes, easiest thing in the world. I'll save that for another day. But
mash up potatoes.
Homemade sausage gravy. Get you a pound of breakfast sausage, you know, that comes in the little phallic tube, like a Jimmy Dean, Tennessee Pride. Get
James
you some of that.
Dean.
Brown that up. Throw it in the skillet, in the mm-hmm. frying pan. Just, you know, just punch it with a wooden spoon or a spatula, get it all broken up.
Okay.
Just cook it till it's brown. There's no pink or red involved. Sit that aside. All right, sit. Mm-hmm. Set that aside. Take you a stick of butter.
Whole stick.
Whole stick.
Okay.
Whole stick of
full
butter.
Full cartridge.
Full cartridge
of butter.
Into a saucepan. Put it on medium to low heat. Let that start to melt. Right when it's just about completely liquefied, mm-hmm. you want to take a cup of flour and slowly add that flour into. I'm doing hand gestures again.
It is.
Slowly add that flour.
He's daintily adding the imaginary flour.
Slowly add that flour.
That looks like the weakest hand job you're giving yourself right now, by the way. An overhanded.
Backhand.
Index and thumb only. A real overhanded. Okay, good job,
I'm an
HJ.
Aristocrat. slowly add that flour in with one hand and stir with the other. So you got your flour, your cup of flour
making
in your left
so
hand.
So many hand gestures.
Stir with that. And I may have talked about this before. This is a roux. It's a roux we're making. A roux is equal
we made
parts.
That last Halloween, you made that roux for the gumbo. And I didn't – like that takes
– It takes
that
a couple,
took
2 hours.
Hours.
Yeah, it took 2 hours.
We had to do shifts. Well, yeah. You and Lisa. That
yeah.
was, actually, Rachel and I didn't jump in. You and Lisa handled that. But a roux, I didn't realize a roux took just stirring.
Yeah, just
for
stirring.
2 hours.
Yeah, it takes a while. That's why my gumbo is so special.
Why does it take that long?
Because you got to cook it on really low heat not to burn it. But you also have to cook it a long time to make get that color. When you're making a roux for a gumbo, you're going for like a chocolate brown. So to it's so delicate because if you use too high of a heat, you're going to burn it and ruin it. So you got to use super low heat. But
can you do it faster if you don't care what color it is?
I mean, you know, if you want to make a mediocre dish, yeah, that's
but
fine.
It'll affect the flavor also.
Yeah, it's all about the flavor, yeah.
Because I don't give a shit what color it is. I mean, it's delicious, but if I can do it in half the time.
Yeah, no, it's not just about the color, but
like
achieving
green,
that color means you've achieved that flavor that you're looking for.
Okay.
So that's why roux takes so long.
Kind of sounds racist.
So anyway, sausage gravy, you got to make that roux. So melt the butter first, slowly add in a cup of butter. You're stirring. Now, with the gravy, you don't have to do that for 2 hours to reach that color because it's a less complex dish than the gumbo. But what you're looking for is a consistency of wet sand. That's what you want to look for. When you're stirring that flour into the butter, you want to keep
going.
I'm
trying to think of wet sand now.
Yeah, just imagine being at the beach.
Like, well, there's wet sand. Well,
you just grab a handful of wet sand. That's the consistency you're looking for.
Not quicksand, not like cream of wheat style. Thicker than cream of wheat?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, just wet sand. So that's your roux. Then you want to take a cup of milk. Add that in. Not buttermilk. Buttermilk's for the biscuits. I've tried buttermilk with this gravy. It's a little too tart. Just a little off. Just regular old, you know, vitamin D, maybe some 1%, 2%, whatever. Add you a cup of milk. Stir that in real thorough.
All right.
Until it gets, just a nice gravy texture. Then you want to add a little salt and pepper to taste.
When you're making gravy, you want to make sure it gets to a gravy texture.
And then at the end, you just throw in that that sausage that you already browned and set aside. So it's a roux of butter and flour, add some milk, add some salt and pepper, then add that sausage. Boom. Easiest thing in the world. And you pour that all over them homemade biscuits, and oh boy.
So when I go to a place and sometimes I'll get them, instead of sausage gravy, I'll get mushroom gravy if I'm trying to do a veggie kick.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the same thing? Like you just saute mushrooms and put them in there?
Well, typically a mushroom gravy is brown.
No, but for like breakfast, for biscuits and gravy.
Okay.
Like that'll be the vegetarian option.
Okay.
Here in Los Angeles.
I would imagine that'd be
the
same
thing. But I'm
assuming
they saute the mushrooms first and put them in place of the side, but you can make that
mm-hmm.
the roux.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if you don't want sausage, you don't have to have sausage gravy. You can just have the gravy part.
Or you could have any kind of thing in there.
That's true. I've made a ham gravy, diced up country ham instead of sausage. That's fun.
Ooh.
That's a good time right there, Kyle. Some ham gravy.
I mean,
ooh, boy.
Ham anything. Like,
yeah.
I've never backed away from any dish. You can give me ham a la mode, and I would. I'm sure it's great. I'm sure that's great.
So that's your gravy. That's your recipe for the week. I guess we should probably just start doing this every week.
We're at about an hour. Here's been an hour of food talk.
Well, we can get into and some other stuff.
I don't know. You want? Should we start the Boogie Monster podcast? this has been an hour-long intro. We got about 10 minutes to talk about aliens.
I didn't even talk about the camping. I tell you what, we'll do camping in next week or the following episode.
Camping to tie in with people that have gone missing in the national park system. Who has, I heard the guy who has the book out. Mm-hmm. What, do you have his name written down here? And I could look it up. We'll have it for next week. And he's written a series of books about people who have gone missing in the national parks. Kind of weird because I think I might be going camping by myself tomorrow. So it's a good thing we're not getting into this right now.
Yes.
You just came back from sleeping in national parks.
I spent 8 nights in 8 different national parks alone in the middle of the night. Just, I'm a man. Nothing can hurt me. Bring it on, bears and
ghosts.
Well,
let's talk about this next. Because if I go this weekend and two, then we can both talk about that. So
but
that,
had I known about this book before I went on this tour, I probably wouldn't have spent 8 nights in state parks.
Yeah, it's that's why I'm glad we're not going to talk about it. But let's talk about what happened this week was the big WikiLeaks article about how everybody had been contacting John Podesta.
John, what is his name? John Podesta.
Podesta. Hillary Clinton's campaign manager.
Yeah, he's actually a former chief of staff under Bill Clinton and is currently the campaign chairman for Hillary's campaign. So, John Podesta, do you want to get into it or should I?
Get into it. Okay. You got notes. I just know that the former astronaut and the guy from Blink-182. Man, if it was any other band, it'd be like, fucking see? Everybody believes in aliens. We're like, oh, the fucking Poo and Pee band.
What God do you mean by damn. Poo and Pee?
They sing about Poo and Pee.
Do they? I mean, I know Blink-182. I can't recall a Poo or Pee song.
I mean, they would sing like they would just sing about Poo and Pee and jerking off, and then one song would be like, oh, I can't believe my parents got divorced.
I always thought they were kind of like, I couldn't take them seriously with that fake.
No, I can't. They were obviously, I vocals. Grew up in the 90s thinking I was punk rock, and that was the band that was like, all right, well, Green Day probably sold out, but they're still talking about sticking it to the man, and we still saw them play small shows through Chicago. Like, they still toured like a band. And Blink-182 was the band that kind of just came out of nowhere as like, we were manufactured.
So they were bigger posers than Green Day?
Or got picked up early on, but it was, they played catchy tunes. Like, looking back now, like, there's no stance to take. I'm gonna be 40 in 2 months. There's no like, man, but still, I'm pretty, check out how real I am. But they, it was always kind of, it definitely, like, I want to still kind of sing along and have something. I don't want to sing about, like, what was it, like, their albums are like Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, or
yeah,
it was very juvenile.
No
lyrics.
One loves you when you're 23.
Even that's a better lyric. Even that's better lyric than like, I peed on the floor.
I never hated him, but it was just.
No, I don't hate him.
It just seems so silly. Like, those vocals were so hard to get around. Like, you're clearly joking, right?
Well, Whitmer Thomas, who is in a band with Mark Hoppus and John Ray now.
How weird is that? Yeah.
But got in that band because he was making fun of the alien guy.
Got a whole bit about that. Yeah.
Tom DeLonge's DeLonge's.
Yep.
Thing about believing in aliens, but also his lyrics were the worst offering in Blink-182, which apparently Mark Hoppus was attracted to. A little bit vindictive. Joining a band with a guy who's making fun of your former bass player.
That's true.
But now I'm on board with this guy all of a sudden because he's the one trying to get the truth about aliens out there.
Exactly. So what we're talking about, this just happened a few days ago. So if you're listening to this about a week ago, like we said, John Podesta, former chief of staff under Bill Clinton, current campaign chairman for Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
The WikiLeaks dump, and a few of those have been happening this summer, but a fresh dump of WikiLeaks happened recently, and it revealed several of Podesta's emails. Now, see, there's been a little bit of disinformation floating around the internet and whatnot. This dump, it's no emails that he sent. These are all just emails that he received that people had sent him. So a recent Wall Street Journal story reported that a few of these leaked emails were between Podesta and Tom DeLonge, Blink-182. It also revealed that Podesta appeared in DeLonge's Still in the Works documentary about aliens and UFOs. So I don't know what the name of that is. I believe it's not been released yet, but apparently Podesta I did smack right there. I'm aware of that. But Podesta appeared in Tom DeLonge's documentary. And Podesta also received an email. This, to me, is the interesting part. I mean, Tom DeLonge, you know, do with that what you will. But Podesta received two emails from a former astronaut, Edgar Mitchell.
Yeah.
Now, Edgar Mitchell was the sixth man to ever walk on the moon. Mm-hmm. He was part of the Apollo 14 mission. He sent – he's since passed away. I think he passed away last year at the age of 85. He sent two emails to Podesta.
I have them here. They're not long. I can read them.
Do you want to read them? You want to go ahead and shout those out?
Yeah, I can read them. I brought them up here.
Cool. These are the emails that astronaut Edgar Mitchell sent to John Podesta.
Yeah. Apollo 14 astronaut, sixth man to walk on the moon. First message is from January 18th of 2015. Dear John, as 2015 unfolds, I understand you are leaving the administration in February. It is urgent that we agree on a date and time to meet to discuss disclosure and zero-point energy. Zero-point energy is what I heard. That's the alien form of renewable energy. As I'm saying this to the listeners, because Dave went to take a piss while I'm reading this email. Zero-point energy at your earliest available after your departure. My Catholic colleague, Terry Mansfield, will be there too to bring us up to date on the Vatican's awareness of ETI, extraterrestrial intelligence. Apparently the Vatican is involved in this, which now that's weird. Like, I want to believe in aliens, but I don't believe in God. But if some – like, now the Vatican's at the forefront of exploring the idea of aliens, this is bringing – this is bringing stuff I didn't think that would ever come together. Another colleague. Yeah, what's up with them shoes, Dave?
I got squeaky boots.
What's up? Did you go to the joke detective store and get the squeakiest shoes possible?
That's what happens when you buy cheap boots.
Well, all right. I'm still in the middle of this thing. Another colleague is working on a new space treaty citing involvement with Russia and China. However, with Russia's extreme interference in the Ukraine, I believe we must pursue another route for peace in space and ZPE on Earth. Zero-point energy, mm-hmm. which I was explaining.
Did you explain that?
I did.
So. I was – full disclosure, I was taking a pee.
No, I disclosed.
Oh, did you?
Fully disclosed.
Gotcha.
That's Alien's idea that – like it's apparently – an unlimited renewable energy source, mm-hmm. that alien technology. I met with President Obama's Honolulu childhood friend, U.S. Ambassador Pamela Hamamoto, on July 4th at the U.S. mission in Geneva when I was able to tell her briefly about zero-point energy. I believe we can enlist her as a confidant and resource in our presentation for President Obama. I appreciate Aaron's assistance in working with Terry to set up our meeting. So, all right, this is where I was going when you were taking a leak. The fact that the Vatican is involved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for us, basically, let's be honest, we're pedestrians when it comes to what we know about things. Dave, goddamn, I'm trying to make this serious so we are a legitimate science podcast, and let's get us out of that lowly comedy category, because we're scientists.
Yeah, Dave. I'm a scientist.
We're scientists. You're a food scientist.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that the Vatican, like, doesn't that strike you as the weirdest place to also agree with aliens? Like, it seemed like, well, there's obviously alien. God is man-made to explain why we exist, and the answers are going to be when aliens visit. Mm-hmm. And now who's on the forefront of being like, aliens are real, and we should get along with them? The Vatican.
Mm-hmm.
That would reestablish. I never gave a shit about the Vatican.
You're Catholic.
I was raised Catholic, but you never realize that that's still a stronghold of influence,
mm-hmm.
of global influence. I never realized that. I always forget that the Pope is still a huge deal globally. Is a huge influence on people. Like, fucking, why do we still give a shit about the Pope? That's still a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's still a global government.
Yeah, for people who can't think for themselves.
Is the Pope. But what if that's a early alignment? Like, they have knowledge. Just let's speculate. If aliens were like, well, we see that you've divided yourselves, mm-hmm. into countries. But who do we talk to about, like, who's representing all of you,
mm-hmm.
in a planetary aspect.
Yeah.
Just from analysis, if the NWO is real, that would be a source. Or you would go to the Vatican. You would go to the... Oh, well, this one guy travels around the world and thousands of people show up to see him on every spot of this earth. Everybody else has their little leaders here and there, and they meet up and they talk. But from an outside perspective, you can't tell who's the strongest little part of Earth. But you could say, oh, this one guy, through the idea of existence, not just political, but spiritual. Why do we exist? Well, let's fucking ask the Pope.
Yeah.
I could see why that would be a connection with extraterrestrial life. I can see that. I never thought of it until reading this stuff. But that would make sense if you were an outside observer of Earth.
Yeah. Is Catholicism the biggest – I don't want to say religion because I feel like it's a denomination, because Catholicism is based in Christianity, I do believe. But, like, is Catholicism the most popular denomination slash religion in the world? Because you got all the Americans, you got tons of Europeans, you even have South Americans.
Right now, I'm going to tell you, largest from a website called infoplease.com, top 10 organized religions of the world, number one Christianity with 2.1 billion.
But a lot of Catholics would fall under Christians, right?
They would be under subset. Christianity, yeah. Number two is Islam. So, this is my own ignorance. Does Islam have a living leader?
It's a great question.
Like a living representation of all of it.
I feel like we would know if there were one.
Yeah. Hinduism, 851 million.
Who's the Dalai Lama? What's he do? I mean, I know who he is.
I think that's Buddhist.
That's Buddhist. So, yeah, that's a great question. Islam. With Buddhists, you got the Dalai Lama. With Catholicism, you got the Pope.
Oh, they have percentages. So Christianity is 33%.
With Christianity, you got Jerry Falwell.
Of all. Well, you got – every one of these is going to have ding-a-lings, you know. Islam's going to have people that blow themselves up. Christianity is going to have sweaty guys on TV saying gay people are going to bring the devil back. Hinduism, nothing offensive. Buddhism, nothing offensive. Sikhism, everything else, all the inoffensive religions are in third through 10th place. But the ones that have actual villains involved with them are first and second.
Interesting.
It's like sports teams. The ones that play nice are last. The ones that have like dickheads you either hate or rally around if they're your dickhead. First and second by a long run.
Now, I'm sorry, I was urinating. Did you read both emails from astronaut Mitchell?
Nah, your piss only lasted the first one. I'll read the second one. Second message is dated August 18th of 2015. Here we go. Dear John, because the war in space race is heating up, I felt you should be aware of several factors as you and I schedule our Skype talk. Remember, our nonviolent ETI from the contiguous universe. What a concept, the contiguous universe.
What does contiguous mean?
Well, a contiguous United States of the lower 48 states, all put together.
Okay.
So a universe that is all connected. The contiguous universe are helping us bring zero-point energy to Earth. They will not tolerate any forms of military violence on Earth or space. Great. You want unlimited energy? Stop being dickheads. What a wonderful concept. This guy could be crazy, or he could be a guy that walked on the moon and is like, basically, this is the guy that gentrified space.
I don't think he's crazy. Do you know?
No, he's the first hipster that moved into a black neighborhood.
The vetting process.
I'm not. Let me go back and correct what I said. You know what I mean? The first guy who went, and now it's going to get ruined because humans are going to fucking gentrify the universe, and then the aliens are going to be like, but we had it so nice before, and then you fucking dickheads ruined it.
I mean, the vetting process that an astronaut has to go through, like, they don't just let any old Yahoo be a astronaut.
This is okay. This is what I was thinking about. Like, you have, you don't just get to be a fucking crazy guy that can tolerate G-force tests.
Yeah,
you're a scientist.
Yeah.
Now, does that mean you're operating at a, like, I read something else, how most CEOs are psychopaths,
huh,
that get them to that place, like, to be able to separate emotions and just be like, nope, feelings don't matter. 300,000 people are fired from this major corporation because I'm the CEO and I won't take that personally. I'm not going to think about how they're going to feed their kids because I'm going to make a company work. That's why psychopaths rise to that. Is there something with astronauts, not psychopath, but maybe some other sort of, I hesitate to say mental illness, but definitely a mental condition that makes you, like, the same reason extreme athletes exist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, isn't that, like, kind of just a smarter version of that? Like, oh, I might die, but I could also spacewalk.
Yeah.
I'll do what it takes to spacewalk.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
But they're still smart. They're still technically smart people. They're scientists. Yeah. They're all scientists.
Incredibly smart.
Nobody's just a fucking Yahoo that passed the test.
Yeah.
They were scientists first.
Uh-huh.
So that's what I'm like, okay, so the fact that you went crazy later on in life, or maybe went crazy, and I mean, the one woman wore diapers to drive to her boyfriend's house. Is that the same personality that thinks they experienced aliens, or is it, no, you are one of the privileged few that got to enter space, mm-hmm, and see what's out there.
And operate a billion-dollar vehicle.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I'm like, well, maybe you did snap. Like, I realize my role is to be the cynic and the critic. Uh-huh. I don't want it to be that.
Uh-huh.
I want it to be that aliens have been observing for a long time and finally realizing, oh, they're venturing over. Let's make contact now and squash any problems if we don't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
We see that they're testing missiles that can ruin this planet. This planet would be a good allegiance for us to have, if, you know, speaking in a contiguous sense of the universe. Here's the rest of the, I'll say the rest of the email. The following information in italics was shared with me by my colleague Carol Rosen, who worked closely for several years with Wernher von Braun, which is a...
That's the NASA dude.
It's a what?
Wernher von Braun. Isn't he the guy that founded NASA?
Is it?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah. Carol and I have worked on the Treaty on the Prevention of the Placement of Weapons in Outer Space. It's a long handle. Attached for your convenience. And then this Snopes, I'm reading off Snopes here, talks about who was involved in these emails. Apparently Mitchell did an interview with The Guardian where he says, it is now time to put away this embargo of truth about the alien presence. I call upon our government to open up and become a part of this planetary community that is now trying to take our proper role as a spacefaring civilization. Ooh, that's fucking heavy.
Mm-hmm.
That's him saying, like, you're watching kids fight each other in the yard and, like, stop it. We're having a block party.
Yeah.
Stop being dickheads, all right? Let's put our best foot forward.
Well, Mitchell has also gone on record as stating, and I don't have my source here, some interview. That's my source, some interview.
Yeah, well.
He believes that the aliens are peaceful, and he stated in some print interview that sometime during the Cold War, aliens came to Earth to stop a nuclear war between America and Russia. That's insane.
Well, you hear about how close stuff came with Cuba in the Cold War.
Like, yeah.
How that was
Bay of Pigs and all that.
Down to the wire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, we don't get political here, and I'm not – I personally don't like either major candidate, but I certainly dislike Trump thousands of times more than I dislike Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. And she makes a good point about – like, do you really want this guy close to the button? Like, that's a very good point.
Talk about single issue voting. Like, that could be the one. Like,
yeah.
As irrational and as immature as he seems to be.
Yeah, like fly off the handle stuff. Like, it's not whatever. We're not a political podcast, but like, but that, but knowing that, oh yeah, these are the people that have access to this. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think if Trump by some reason won the actual puppet masters or NWO assignees to the president, would be like, no, you don't. Like, I don't think they're actually in charge. So even if he won, I don't feel it would be the disaster people think it is, because I think even the powers that are, that you do see, even Congress and House of Representatives would all be like, you're fucking crazy. Sit down. Shut the fuck up. Now, fuck, what if that's what we need?
Mm-hmm.
We need such a lunatic in office that unites the Democratic and Republican Party. Like, what if Trump could be the best thing that happens for America in a sense of unified rebellion?
Wow.
Like, you have the, like, oh, we weren't getting along over what? Now we have to join sides to spite this fucking lunatic.
Mm-hmm.
I may have just changed my vote. We may all have to vote for Trump just for the fact that it's going to unite. It's going to unite our government. Like they've never, a common enemy bonds strangers and bonds minuscule enemies having a larger enemy.
Mm-hmm.
We might have to vote for Trump. Fuck, I just came to a realization. I know it's not well thought out, but it just happened right now. It's not a preconceived notion. Guys, vote for Trump. We're going to enter a world. We're going to enter the most peaceful era of the United States we've ever seen.
Mm. I mean, all this WikiLeaks stuff, basically, it funnels back to disclosure.
Yeah.
And what does the government know that they're not telling us?
Most stuff.
And I mean, Podesta, this is all – he's basically – all right, Podesta went on record as saying in a Washington Post interview that his biggest failure during his tenure under Bill Clinton – was not securing the disclosure of UFO files. So he admits that. So right there, that says you know something.
Yeah.
So
I think of that
being associated with Hillary, in the event that she does win the presidency, can we expect some disclosure under her presidency?
I like how that's something I saw at like Breitbart. Like, that's the thing they're trying to use is like, can you believe these guys want to believe in aliens now? And they're all like right-wing conspiracy theorists, but it's like the thing they can grasp at to try and take down Hillary is like, no, they believe in aliens. And like, everybody else is like, fucking yeah, good.
Yeah.
I listen to Coast. I've been like a year listener to Coast to Coast, but it does have a right-leaning slant. Mm-hmm. Like, I like all the but then you get the dudes, and I'll entertain the right-wing conspiracy theorists just for the word entertain, just for that concept. Like, let's see what these – like, why are they saying this? I don't understand. Like, listen to Fox News. Especially if you hate it, watch it.
Yeah.
And learn why. Don't just like, I heard their shit. Like, and then also, when you notice techniques in Fox News that you see on CNN, know that they're all bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, go learn for yourself. I've had some whiskey, and I'm starting to ramble.
Well, I just don't understand. I don't know what. You know, talking about, can you believe these people believe in aliens? All right, I know that's kind of, other than food, that's kind of the point of this podcast.
Yeah, we get to it.
To shine a spotlight on some of this weird stuff. And I get
it's a dim spotlight.
Even though I'm a believer in a lot of this stuff, I believe in Bigfoot, I believe in a lot of this stuff, I get how, you know, the average person walking down the street could, Bigfoot, nah, you're crazy. Yeah. Mothman, you're crazy. Chupacabra, you're... The fact that some people don't think that UFOs and aliens are a thing, I mean, come on. To me, that's the most believable of all this paranormal, supernatural type stuff.
I mean, it's tough when it's, you know, we got an astronaut and we got a bass player clicking his lip ring around about it. Some guy talking through a gauged lip ring about the existence of extraterrestrials. I'm like, man,
help our case.
Couldn't we split the difference?
But seriously, to think that in this giant universe, for anyone to just be like, this idiot believes in aliens.
That's arrogant. That's, I mean, I think that's an arrogant thought.
Again, I get how people may not believe in Bigfoot and some of this other stuff, even though I do believe. But aliens, UFOs, come on.
And admittedly, I believe in all this stuff from a tourist standpoint. I mean, I'm not basing my life around, you know, driving out there with an antenna and just living out there, trying to drink my own piss, waiting for them to find my, like, UFOs land here flag. I mean, I'm still a tourist to all this. But it is the most logical. If you take all of the unexplained and choose one thing that's possible, yeah, of course, aliens. And then, all right, going back to something we did discuss, if aliens are just time travelers, time traveling human beings, or a future evolved version of human beings, then that does make a lot of sense. They would come back and be like, hey, don't blow yourselves up. But again, that goes to that weird time travel thing, like, well, if we blow ourselves up, then there wouldn't be a future version of us to come back and warn ourselves about blowing ourselves up. That's the default in the whole.
Yeah.
Like, not surprisingly, Back to the Future did explain that very well, like how you can't time travel. They did for simpletons like myself. That made a lot of sense. But I think in a global aspect, like, stop destroying your community.
Yeah.
Stop ruining your own community. Like, we'll show you how to exist. We'll show you this. Shit, whatever they said about
it. Try to live in harmony.
the energy source. Mm-hmm. Like, stop worrying. I do feel like that's going to be like, oh, but I need gas, or I need oil, or I need coal, or something to run these machines. I do feel like, imagine in 300 years when people look back, like, really? That's what you worried about? What a silly thing. Back when fire was the only way to light something. That's how we'll look back. Like, no, we have light bulbs now.
Yeah.
You're fine. We have light bulbs. That's what energy will be, I think, eventually. We'll figure out how to harness energy. We're at an hour 24. We talked about so much stuff.
Talked about so much stuff. So.
And we can do it.
Yeah.
We can wrap it up.
Somewhat of a topical episode. Given that all this WikiLeaks stuff just happened. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see where this goes.
And I think it kind of cancels itself out that WikiLeaks said, an astronaut believes in aliens, also the bass player from Blink-182. We kind of could have just said nothing, and it would have been the same effect.
Well,
you know what? We're breaking even on aliens this week, everybody. But Dave did tell you how to make some sausage gravy. So how about a 5-star on iTunes?
Yeah. By the way, don't be afraid to go on there and give us a review or a rating. You know, not to pander too much to that, but that helps us. So
It does a thing.
So yeah, but yeah, to wrap it up, I. You know, don't want to get too political, but not a fan of either one of the candidates. But
no.
if I had to, I honestly don't even know if I'm going to vote.
I got my vote by mail thing, and I do get caught up. I do start to say, like, fucking voting's bullshit. But then I look at it, and part of me thinks, no, this could come off wrong, but. It's one of your secured rights that you've been that you're able to do, and I do think about veterans and stuff. That as much as conspiracy theories, I'm like, well, yeah, there's a war in the Middle East because of oil and energy sources. Well, we look at Vietnam. Well, that was strategized into being, so we can get in there and. Stop the spread of communism, you know. World War II was, you know, we needed to rally. You know, we couldn't just enter into Europe without having any provocation. So the knowledge that we were about to be bombed in Pearl Harbor was allowed. And that was allowed to happen. From the things I've seen, the rebuttals or opposite facts of that. But, like, we needed a reason to enter that war. So Pearl Harbor... still people went out and like they're still like defending America and this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So like if one of those things, the least thing I could do is mail order vote. I can still mail my vote in. I'm not going to wear my fucking sticker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to like prove to
I
you.
I voted. That, so what?
Yeah, fucking good job. Like what? Like I don't know what. I mean, I guess to not be so cynical of by wearing a sticker, it gets other people to do it, but it does seem like kind of a like a fucking zombified. I chose a leader.
Yeah.
Did you choose a leader today? How could you not choose leader? Choose leader. We choose leader. I'll do it. And it's California, so it's going to go to Hillary for the presidential. Mm-hmm. When you realize you're voting for a lot of other stuff, you're voting for a lot of other issues. So as much as I'm like, oh, fucking voting's dumb, I know a lot of it's done out of ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
I'll do it. I got the right if I'm not going to show up at a polling place. But
well, my point was, regardless
writing. Mail-in.
Of,
sorry, not write-in. Mail-in.
Regardless of
write-in,
where,
David Lee Roth for everything.
Regardless of where I fall politically, I will say that I guess I hope Hillary wins in the sense that I hope if she does win, we'll get some disclosure on some of
we'll
this
get
stuff.
Aliens, and then we'll also give all our rights up to Wall Street. So it's going
to
be great.
I mean, how great would that be, though, to finally it just be public knowledge, common knowledge of like, yeah, this we all know now that aliens are a thing, and here's some hard evidence.
Maybe that goes hand in hand with her speaking to Wall Street privately. Like, we have to vote. Wall Street doesn't make money if everybody dies.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to want – they're going to – figure out how, like, you're going to make investments in new technology if it comes from alien technology and space travel. They're going to monetize this, what the shit did I call it? The new energy source.
Zero point energy.
ZPE is going to be on the NASDAQ within 3 weeks of aliens being like, we're real. We freak out for a week, but then some coked up dipshit is going to be like, guys, listen, baby, hey. You guys want to really get with the American people? Give them a slice of it. Give them a slice. Let them get a taste. We'll come in at 3 points. I don't know how stocks work. Oh, but so profit is going to guarantee people living outside of the war.
Yeah.
Industrial. What is it called? The military industrial complex.
Yes.
Some people die, but a lot of people live, and that's how they make money. It's all scummy. The whole thing's scummy.
Scummy.
Fucking legalize weed, bro.
Well, time will tell.
Shit. Time will tell.
Well,
once again, it all fell apart towards the end.
Oh, well.
Should we do a comic of the week?
Let's do comic of the week. You had a suggestion?
I'm saying Sam J.
Sam J. So funny.
Sam J. is a comic. I don't know where she's from.
J-A-Y.
Yeah, J-A-Y. Sam J.
She's kind of a new arrival to L.A. Been here maybe
been
a
long.
Year.
I've seen this. Okay, I'll say it based on I know her and I don't know her well, but she's always been like just like one of those people you just meet and you're like, oh, you're just cool as shit.
Mm-hmm.
Just from the get go, you're cool as shit. I'm glad you're around.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw her do a set. Sam J is a black married lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
This plays into why I'm not just saying that, but she did a set where she defended not Donald Trump, but the people who would vote for Donald Trump. And I don't want to give it away, but there's some of the comment, like, you can, as a comedian, you can kind of make jokes about what the audience already agrees with, and you're not getting laughs as much as you're getting people just agreeing with you, like, mm-hmm. Well, Trump's bad. We know. Mm-hmm. And then you can make jokes about how he's bad, but you've already won them over by a shared point of view.
Yeah.
Sam took the most opposite point of view, which is to defend old racist white guys as a married black lesbian woman. And it was so refreshing of like just doing that. Like, I'm going to take the opposite of what you think I believe and defend in the most hilarious way. And it was, but it also made you still kind of feel bad for old racist white guys. Like, it wasn't making fun of them. It was her totally embodying why they would feel – I don't want to ruin the joke, but like some guy lost a leg in Korea and he just wants to be racist in his own home. He went to war to for the fact that – to fight for the right to just be racist in his house. And now there's a woman on television that's going to be president, and it's fucking up everything he went to war for. And I lost my shit. It was so refreshing in the fact, like, we're surrounded by, happily surrounded by left-wing, open-minded people being in the arts and being in comedy and living mm-hmm. in Hollywood. And to see somebody take the opposite stance and do it, like, with a little bit of true sympathy,
yeah,
but well-written jokes. I don't know if she's got an album out. I don't know what's going on. But if Sam J, if she's coming around, go see her.
Yeah.
Fuck, that was like, you see comedy every night. Mm-hmm. You know, like, when a joke's good or something. But when you laugh at something because it's new, because you're like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You reminded me you can take real weird angles in comedy.
Yep.
That I forgot you could just jump up there and be like, just take a total beeline into that.
Yeah.
And it was great. So go find awesome. Sam J on your social medias.
Sam J, go out and see her. I don't know if she tours. She probably tours a little bit. And she's coming to your town. Go see her.
She was just, I don't know where she went. But yeah, she's around. Just go find her. She's great.
I'm going to throw out a music plug real quick. Last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. I mentioned them in this episode. I've mentioned them in other episodes. One of my favorite bands in the world, Drive-By Truckers, got a new album out. We were supposed to go see them last night.
Yeah, we didn't make it.
Didn't work out, although I am going to go to a show tonight. Margo Price, if anybody's into alt country, about to go see Margo Price this evening. Long story behind that I won't get into tonight, but weird little personal connection there. Did some favors. Now I'm on the guest list for tonight's show at the Troubadour.
You can't just tease it.
Yeah, I don't.
Did some favors. Now I'm on the guest list. You can't just tease it like that.
Email us, and then I'll tell you.
It'll be snuck into the biscuit recipe.
Drive-By Truckers got a brand new album out called
A Stick of Butter, 3 pounds of Marijuana.
American Band is the name of the new Drive-By Truckers album, and it's their 11th studio album. These guys have been around. Their first album came out in 98. Been around a while. But have always been, I don't know, as a Southern dude, just I love any Southern band who embraces that Southernism, but also is like talking about taking a left turn or a different angle.
Yeah,
we're not who you think we are. You know,
hugging party cups and lifted trucks.
Exactly. They're progressive. They're just a great band, you know, sonically, but also lyrically. I love them. But this new album is probably their most overtly political album, even though every album has had some touch of political and their mindset. But what's funny about this new album, because it is so overtly political, but because they're from the South and they've got kind of a Southern rock, alt-country sound, they still attract a certain element of, like, good old boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, you know, I've seen them. I used to live in the same town. They're from Athens, Georgia. I lived there for many years, and I would go see them so many times. And as much as I loved the band, the only thing I could ever – you know, the only negative comment I ever had about the band was they still attracted some real dipshit fans.
Yeah, and that's not their fault.
Not their fault. It's just, you know, the Southern thing, the Southern rock thing. But you'd go to their shows, but not so much in other cities. I think we've been to their shows here in L.A.
We saw them here last year.
Yeah, last year at their acoustic The Dirt Underneath tour. But you go see them in the South, and there's still a lot of camouflage hats. There's still some Rebel Flag t-shirts. And that is so not what that band is about. But my point is, the new album is so overtly political that it's really alienated a lot of those fans. A lot of these right-leaning fans.
Yeah.
You pull up any YouTube video or article and read the comment section, and a lot of these idiots are like, man, y'all need to just stop preaching and stick to what you got you hear. And it's like, hey, idiot, if you listen to any of their albums, there's always been...
It was like that the whole time.
Yeah, it was like that the whole time. This one's just a little more overt, but good for them. Like, they're just really standing up for... They got a song called... what's the song on the new album? What It Means. And it's very timely in the sense of a lot of the police shootings and a lot of the social stuff that's been going on.
That's what I heard. Somebody was saying that about Ron White has been kind of bucking up against his fan base.
I can see that.
He's got a, I don't know if it's a Mexican wife or some Latina wife. and talking about anti-Trump stuff and like getting like going against what you think his fan base would be about. And right on, man. Yeah. Like, I'd rather challenge people that think they know me than just agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, if I believe in what I'm challenging them on,
mm-hmm.
not just for shits and giggles, not yeah. just to cause friction.
Yeah.
But I'd rather, you know, not just go along with it. I mean, there's a whole thing. Well, Larry the Cable Guy endorsed Trump. I was like, well, yeah, that's not a real person.
Yeah.
Guess what? What's his real name? Dan Whitney.
Mm-hmm. Dan Whitney.
Dan Whitney.
From Colorado.
Dan Whitney.
Or Nebraska. He's from Nebraska.
Might be voting Democrat across the board.
Yeah.
But your fucking hillbilly Disney prince endorsed Trump because that's what people like, this guy, he gets me. You mean the millionaire who still has somebody professionally cut the sleeves off his shirts?
Yeah. Well, when your fan base just assumes they know
yeah.
who you are, I've seen you deal with this on Twitter not long ago.
Oh, yeah.
Some guy tweeted at you like, hey, Kyle, no homo, but I'd do anything to have a beer with you. And you were like, well, you can start by not using that stupid phrase.
It depends on when I get caught up. Somebody also like, oh, here's a joke. And it was like, we should just start photographing homeless people for the L.L. Bean catalog or something. Like, because homeless people like, and I just went off because, all right, first off, the homeless people are just urban campers comparison is the one of the most hack as fuck beginner jokes
yeah.
you can make.
Yeah.
Second off, that's something that bugs me a lot. I've never been homeless. I don't know about it. But you live in L.A., and I see these people, and I know it's not like, oh, well, they just did drugs because they chose to do drugs. No. There's mentally ill people
yeah.
that grow up in foster homes, and when they're 18, they're cut loose on the streets. Like, oh, you've been schizophrenic, and you've been in the foster care system. Well, you're 18. Good luck in the world,
mm-hmm.
and you're sent out. And the circumstances that people wind up in that create them home, it's not because they're selfish and they just, fuck the world, I can live for free. That affects me greatly, and I don't like. I see it in my community, and it bothers me a lot. So that joke bugged me, and I went off on that guy. He's like, "No, I'm really just commenting." I was like, "No, you're making a cheap joke."
Mm-hmm.
And I've made homeless like my earliest jokes ever was about I don't know, understand why people say they're homeless. People say they're hungry because they always manage to steal shopping carts, and that's the biggest item at a grocery store. I think that's more of a trying. Like, I don't think it's. But I was also 22. It was mm-hmm. the first joke I made.
Yeah.
So I went off on this guy a little harsh, but some other guy like got him like they were just like being dicks to me that I was mean that the guy thought that was a good joke. It was like, fuck your jokes. You're a louse. Don't email me jokes that are shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Don't email me any jokes on Twitter.
Stop tagging my Twitters.
Yeah. I know I get uppity about. But then, of course, because I'm still a narcissist, I was like reading YouTube comments in a video like, fuck Kyle Kinane, he blocked my friend just because he made fun of homeless people. He's not even homeless. He just made fun of homeless people. Like, and I wanted to get upset, and I didn't want to respond. I'm like, no, leave it alone. These kids might be 17 years old. I was making homeless jokes when I was 22. So maybe that's okay. Back off from it. It's mm-hmm. fine. Leave it alone. I don't know how I get caught up in that thing right there.
But yeah, so that's my music plug, Drive-By Truckers, America Band.
I did forget. I totally forgot how I got to
out now. It's not dumb. Only just sonically, just I love that sound that they do, just that southern rock, alt country thing, but like lyrically, just an amazing album. So if you're remotely into that type of music, check that out. You probably will not be disappointed. So.
We are both talking to each other in the dark, drinking.
It got dark.
And we're not in the learning annex. We're in my actual proper place of residence. And the sun is set, and we are looking at each other in the dark, drinking whiskey. And we've talked for an hour and 40 minutes.
And we'll wrap it up very quickly. I just want to throw out.
Wrapping it up for an hour.
A couple of days ago, if you're listening to this, your new special came out. Congrats.
Oh, fuck yeah. Thanks,
congrats on that, buddy.
Well, if this comes out on the 18th, it's for sale today.
Yes. Audio version on sale today, loose in Chicago.
Please go get the. I mean,
so funny.
Not because I'm going to make profit, but go see the unedited. Go see the. the version that wasn't chopped up. Mm-hmm. I know I'm long-winded, and some of the jokes get long, so they just
I loved it, man.
They melon-balled the middle of some bits to fit into an hour airing.
That always happens.
So, I mean, fucking go steal it. I don't care. Like, if you don't want to support it, but you're curious as to what the joke, like, isn't that funny? But like, just steal it,
dude. It's great. Your third hour special.
For you to pay for it.
That's a great accomplishment. Also, last week you were on Drunk History. That was amazing.
I've been around.
You were on Carson Daly. You were on TV like four times last week.
What? I'm doing a big push. I'm doing a lot of stuff.
So yeah, I definitely want to, because I know you won't plug it, but I'll plug it.
So this is coming out.
Cognane Loose in Chicago.
This comes
out
on the 18th of October. Mm-hmm. What do you got? You're back in town. You doing stuff? What do you got?
I'm back in town. I don't have. I'll go ahead and say this. Full disclosure. Oh. I know a lot of people were very supportive of my opportunity with the Travel Channel with me and Lisa Best, Cheat Day Chowdown. Yeah, they passed. They didn't pick that up. But, hey, that's show business. Who gives a
you
shit?
You needed to make a hipper food show than what Travel Channel wanted.
Exactly. I still got some irons in the fire. Got some ideas brewing. So, but
if cool clothes. You look real cool on that show.
Yeah.
Did you get to keep those clothes?
I do. I do get to keep
those
clothes.
Are you going to wear those to the show tonight?
Probably.
You look like a real bad boy picking up some babes at this.
I'm a bad boy with the denim jacket. So
go denim on denim. I know it's like a Canadian tuxedo. But I think nowadays there's no rules, man.
Yeah, so anybody who was looking for more Cheat Day Chowdowns, that will not happen, at least not in the near future. But, hey, who gives a shit?
Fuck it.
You live to fight another day.
This comes out the 18th. I'll say I'll be in Halifax. I'll say that there's a hot dog restaurant in Milwaukee.
What'd you call it? A sausage bar.
Yeah, there's a sausage bar. In Milwaukee.
When is that?
Called the Vanguard. Oh, it's never, but maybe it's the 20th.
Okay.
It's a real secret thing.
And you're playing Atlanta, my hometown, very soon?
And then after that, I'll be in Halifax, Nova Scotia on the 22nd. And then the
27th, I think you're in Atlanta.
Fuck, man. I got dates up. I'll put up something on the Facebook page. But then I got a Southern run coming up, starting in Birmingham, I think.
By the way, the boys at King's Barbecue said if you want, they'd be glad to smoke you a brisket and bring it to you at the show. Even though I know you don't want to get all filled up on brisket before you go perform.
This tour is going to hurt me. I got such a swollen elbow from the gout right now.
Is that a sign?
I thought like, it just starts in the foot. And then it works its way up the body. But then I had a gout. I had the first outbreak last year in my toe. And then my elbow's been fucked for 2 weeks.
Wow.
It feels like there's a balloon around it. It's like a little elbow pad. It's kind of nice. But
interesting.
Anyway, I've been eating vegetables.
Well, good for you, buddy. Well, yeah, we did it.
Well, hot dog, man. We really got to a place here.
Good to be back.
Welcome back. Welcome home. Welcome back.
Social media, Twitter, Boogie Monster Pod, No Vowels in the Monster, Boogie Monster Podcast Gmail is the email, and we get the Instagram, the Facebook, the blah, blah, blah.
You'll find
You know, just holler at your boys.
All right.
We'll see you next time. Dave Snow, Kyle Kinane, Boogie Monster, blah, 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 blah.
The Boogie Monster.